Let's turn in our Bibles, please, this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I want to preach to you this morning from this particular passage of Scripture, and the title of my message is No Sympathy for Dad. No Sympathy for Dad. And I want to kind of give you here a little bit of introduction to where we're going to be going at verse 25, dealing with the elder son in verses 25 through 32. But in this particular chapter, there are three parables. There is the parable of the lost sheep, there's the parable of the lost coin, and there is the parable of the lost son. In these particular parables, the emphasis here is on someone who loves and goes out to find what is lost. Someone who loves and someone who goes out and seeks that which is lost. In the first parable of the lost sheep, we find here that there is an individual who has 99 sheep. One of them is missing. That's a loss of 1%. And yet, this shepherd loves the lost sheep, the one sheep, and goes out to find that sheep to bring it back into the fold. Then we go down here to the lost coin. We have a woman here pictured who has 10 pieces of silver. If she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently seek to find what she has lost? How much of a percentage do you have lost there? She has 10 pieces, she loses one, that's 10%. All right? The Lord's giving a picture here because the Pharisees were all about protecting assets. All right? Protecting assets, that's what they were all about. Protecting religious assets, protecting their financial assets. And the Lord is drawing a picture for them here in this particular chapter that God is more concerned, God the Father is more concerned than any religious person. He's more concerned than any religious person. This is something you need to know about your Heavenly Father. Love is the heart of what the Lord... This is one thing the Pharisees didn't have. They didn't have any love. Remember the picture of the Lord talking about the Pharisee who went over beside the publican there and said, I'm glad that I'm not like one of these. Is that love? Obviously not. You see, religion doesn't know what love is. You think about all the religions that are out there this morning, meeting all across the globe, all of them talking about love. Isn't that interesting? They talk a lot about love, but they don't know what love is because the Father of love, the Father who loves, is absent from their services. Now let's go on here because here we see the parable of the lost son. Now here in this particular picture, we could say 50% because this man has two sons and he loses one. That's a 50% loss. However, as we read the story here, we find out that the boy that was at home was a boy that was lost. He was lost while he was at home. So you have almost 100% loss here. He's lost two boys. Now one of them comes back. So he gains back one and he's lost another who was at home. And I want to get into that today because I think this is something that we need to emphasize here, showing the greatness of the Father's love and the rejection of the Father's love by not only the younger boy who comes back to the Father, his love reaches him all the way down in the pig pen, but this older son who lived in the shade of the Father's love the whole while had no appreciation for it. I think that is like much of us today. I think that's a picture of the church today. We live in the shade. We enjoy the Father's love, and yet we do not appreciate it. We're going to get into that this morning. Now, I think that this account of the prodigal son is not about two prodigal boys. I think it is about a loving father. I see this theme throughout each of these parables here. Who goes out to find the lost sheep? The shepherd does. Who goes and cleans her house to find the lost coin? It's the person who desires it. It's this woman here. Who receives the son who's repentant back into the home? It's the loving father. Love permeates this entire chapter here. But it's not over with. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, folks, you need to underline that, star it, put a circle around it. That's the language of love. That's the language of love. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Verse 32, It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father in heaven, we pray that you would anoint the preacher today to communicate your word in a clear fashion. Lord, may we have an understanding and a new appreciation of your great love for us. Lord, we cannot explain it. We cannot put it into words. But it's the kind of love that we are supposed to have and reflect toward others around us. We pray, dear Father, that you would use this passage to speak to our hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to focus on the older brother today as we consider the second prodigal son. The second prodigal son who had no sympathy for Dad. Absolutely none. Now, I want you to see three things today. He rejected his father's mercy. He rejected his father's methods. And he, above all, rejected his father's motive. His father's motive was everlasting, unconditional love. He had no sympathy for his father in those three areas. Now, he despised his father for accepting his brother back into the home. Absolutely despised his father because he let this boy come back into the house and did all these things for this younger boy, and here he had been with him all the time, and he's thinking, nobody's ever done anything for me. You know what he was doing? And this is what struck me as I studied this passage again. He was living like the servants. He wasn't living like a son. You know, I'm afraid as Christians, we do the very same thing. I've been rebuked about this. Living like a slave instead of living like a son. Son, he says, thou art ever with me. Who's with us, Christians, this morning? The Lord is ever with us. And he goes on to say, and all that I have is thine. And yet we live like slaves and paupers. In Christianity today, we don't live like sons. We're living like servants. This boy, this older boy, got up every morning like he was supposed to. He got up early. And he went out in the field and he worked his tail off. And he came back in the evening time having done all that his dad told him to do. But he wasn't living like a son, was he? He was living like one of the hired hands. He was doing it because he wanted something from his father. He wasn't doing it because he loved his father. He was doing it because he wanted something from his father. I've gone out, I've come in every day, Dad, just like you said. I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've carried out every task, I've done every job, and yet you haven't gone out and killed the fatted calf for me and my friends, and had a big party for us. What's wrong with that story? What's wrong with that story? This young man, this older brother, had no sympathy for Dad's love. He wasn't loving his dad like he ought to. He wasn't loving his father like he ought to. He was loving his father for what he could get, and not because of who his father was. And as Christians, you and I need to be careful. We need to examine our hearts and lives. Are we living like slaves and paupers? Are we serving God because we love Him? Because of all that He is. Not because I'm going to get a mansion in heaven. I don't serve Him because I'm going to get to walk the streets of gold. I serve Him because I love Him. I'm responding to His love. And this older brother did not respond to his father's love. He missed out on everything. We want to look at this. First of all, the rejection of the father's mercy. Whenever the word came to this older brother, he's been out laboring in the fields, and he hears the music. He said, "Hey, what's going on? What's happening up at that big house? Hey, didn't you hear? Your younger brother came home today. Isn't this wonderful?" And the older brother didn't say a word. He just got angry. And he refused to go to the party. He went back to the bunkhouse where all the servants stayed, where all the slaves were. He went over there. He said, "I'm not going up to the house." This is the attitude that he had. Why didn't my dad tell him, "I told you so"? You know, that's the first thing that happens. Now, here was this young man. I want to make sure that we understand the foundation of this. The younger brother came back with a repentant heart. That's why the father received him. If the young man had not come back with a repentant heart, I don't think the father would have received him. We need to understand that footing. Some people skip the repentance part and just go, "Well, that's what every father should do. Anytime they come back, we just bring them in." No, no, no. This young man came back with a repentant spirit. By the way, repentance is the heart of this. Look at verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So the heart of this theme throughout Luke chapter 15 is repentance. Everybody must repent and come to the Father. The young man repented. And he came to his father and says, "Make me like one of your slaves." And because he had repented, he said, "I'm not going to let you be a slave. You're my son. And I'm going to treat you like my son." That's what the father does. "I'll treat you like a son when you repent." Now here, let's go on with this. "Why didn't you tell him, 'I told you so'? Why didn't you say, 'This boy took my name and my money, my substance, and squandered it. He disgraced the family name. I'm going to whip him within an inch of life.'" That older brother would have right there cheering. "Let's get him. He disgraced our family name. Look what he did. He took all the inheritance that dad should have never given him to start with. And he squandered it and he lost it all. Now he's come back. Let's whip him within an inch of his life." You know what? That's the language of the law. That's not the language of grace. That father would have been perfectly just to do just that. Whip him within an inch of his life because he had wasted everything and he had rebelled against the father and he had done all the wrong things. What was the difference? Repentance. Repentance. I want to tell you something, young people, boys and girls of Grace Bible Church. Except ye repent, you will likewise perish. That's the message. We love to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but unless you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ alone, you cannot ride mommy and daddy's coattails into heaven. Won't happen. You must repent. You must believe. These two boys grew up in the best possible household you could grow up in. It's interesting as you look at this. They grew up in a loving home, a home in which there was everything in the world that a heart of a child could want. Everything was provided. There was love. There was discipline. There was joy. There was fellowship. There was comfort. There was a job. They had everything in this home. And yet both of these boys turned against the love of the father. I think that's important to see. Now one of them, the father's love reached him all the way down in the pig pen and lured him all the way back home. That's how our God works. But there was one that was living right there in the house. He was living right in the house and was missing the love. Missing the love. Now, the Father did an amazing thing. Something that we as selfish human beings do not seem to grasp so many times. He acted in mercy. It is interesting to me that when Jesus Christ got to this part of the parable and He put this bright response of the Father into words, that the people present there, I think, had to blink their eyes in disbelief, because that's not how the Middle Eastern culture would have handled this situation. If a Muslim boy had done that to a father, he would be what? Dead. He would be dead. For a Jewish boy, to even receive the inheritance before his father's death was a horrible, egregious act. And then to come back home, oh, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That would have been the response. I think when they got to that part, there were people that were saying, "What? What did this father do? Would you repeat that again, sir? What did he do?" He received him back. He put a ring on his finger. He put a garment on him. He killed the fatted calf. This isn't something we understand. This isn't something we know. Mercy is something that lost sinners can't understand, but we enjoy. Amen? I can't understand it. Don't even try to put it into words. The mercy of the Father. You see, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is the language of the law. But we have here the language of grace that's given here. And the older brother hated it. He despised it. He rejected the Father's mercy. "Why don't you make him a servant, Dad? He doesn't deserve to be called your son anymore. What are you going to do, give him another inheritance?" That was what was in the heart of this older brother. It's interesting to me that this older brother had not gone after his younger brother. There was no, "Dad, I'm going to go try to find him. This isn't right. I'm going to go down there and try to help him and bring him back home." We don't see the older brother doing that, do we? The older brother shows absolutely no sympathy for the younger brother in this. He has no sympathy for his younger brother. He has no sympathy for his father who's older than him. And so what do we have here? We have a problem. Now notice this, please. This younger brother shows up smelling like a pigsty. All he's got is his filthy clothes on, probably tattered and rags. He's been fighting the pigs for supper. You know how it is when pigs are hungry? Have you ever been in a pig pen when they're feeding time? I've only had one experience one time where they slopped the hogs. I got to see it and watch those pigs come running up there. And I mean, food's flying. They're just gobbling it down. I wouldn't put myself down in there. And yet that's what he was doing. When they came out to feeding time, there was another person, there was a human being down in there, and he was fighting with the pigs to get whatever food he could get. He's come home. He's filthy. He's in the rags. He smells like a pig. And I guarantee that older brother said, "Why don't you let him sweat off some of that pig smell, Dad? Put him out here in the field with the servants." Only a loving father could give him a hug, say, "Let's get him cleaned up. Go get the ring. Go get the garments. And go kill the fatted calf." Only a loving father can do that. And that's what our Father does every day around the world, one by one. A filthy, dirty, rotten sinner, redeemed, transformed, and changed, and made fit for heaven. He did that for each one of us. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what? It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life in 2 Timothy, you know what he refers to himself as? The chiefest of sinners. Wow, Paul, you should have had a much higher self-esteem. I mean, look at all the things you did. Look at how you poured yourself out in Christian service. said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but he was a son. He was a son. He said, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Are you living like a slave this morning? Are you living like a slave? Or are you living like a son? This older brother had a problem with the father's mercy toward the younger brother. He was living like one of the slaves. You could understand a slave getting all upset, but not a son. Let's move on. A rejection of the father's methods. I want you to think with me for just a little bit here. I want you to see the father's method of dealing with the younger son and how the older brother hated and despised it. Number one, he was waiting for the son. I think this is a beautiful picture. I think every night and every morning that father was out at the gate of the property, had his eyes looking up out into the hills. Well, I don't see him tonight. We'll keep a watch out for him. Maybe he'll come home tonight. Up early in the morning, out at the gate, looking out there to see. He might see him walking up, or maybe riding on a camel, his son coming home. He was waiting for his son. Nobody had to go in and get the dad and say, hey, there's somebody coming in. He was out there waiting. That's the method of the Father this morning for you if you're lost and without Jesus Christ. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come to Him. Now, rather than just going on as usual, as if he had no son, this father was waiting for the younger boy to come home. That steamed the older one. That steamed him royally. Why does he keep going out there every night, every morning, standing at the gate looking off out into the distance? That bum, that rascal, he's not coming back. He's out living the good life. Dad just needs to forget about him. No sympathy for how the father handled this. B, I want you to see this, the method of acceptance rather than rejection. This father understood and knew repentance. Let me ask you something. If somebody comes to you and repents, do you have the kind of grace that this father has to let go of the past? There are some people that just can't let go. Somebody will say, I'm sorry, but they just can't accept that. I don't believe them. I don't believe them. That father could have said that. That sorry rascal spent every dime I gave him. I don't believe it. We're going to do a long 1-year tenure here to see what's going to happen with this boy. And if he proves himself, then I'm going to receive him. Aren't you thankful as a lost sinner you don't have to do that? He accepts you on the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Father does. You see, there's nothing that a lost sinner can do to merit salvation from the hand of the Father. There's not a thing we can do. There's no trial period that we can go through and try to prove ourselves. Not at all. All we can do is cast ourselves at the mercy of the Father. This older brother, he didn't like this method of acceptance. He kind of preferred the rejection level. Thirdly, the method of rejoicing rather than being angry. Why don't you show a little anger? Why don't you beat him up a little bit? Chew him out really good. Then maybe, you know, after a few months, we might have a little party for him, bake a little cake for him or something like that because he came home. That's not what this father did. This father rejoiced. They were dancing and they were singing at the return of this son. Fourthly, the method of feasting rather than fuming. That's what the older boy wanted. Oh man, I could have had that fatted calf. My buddies and I could have had the best barbecue that the Middle East has ever seen. We've been here working the whole time. We've been here slaving out in the fields. No fatted calf for us. Nobody patting us on the back about how good a job we're doing back here. But oh boy, when the younger brother comes back, we go out and kill the fatted calf and have this big roast for him. He doesn't deserve it. Are you getting the picture here? Sinners, saved sinners. Are you getting a little bit of a picture here of where the Lord Jesus Christ is going with the Pharisees? He was describing the Pharisees and how they lived and how they acted. This older brother was a classic Pharisee. Said, we should be fuming instead of feasting. And then I want you to see the last thing here. The method of reinvestment of authority and inheritance rather than giving the boy servant status. Boy, this is what burned up that older brother more than anything else. The reinvestment of authority and inheritance. When that ring got put back on his finger, he had the authority of a son in that household. He had the authority of a son. In the Middle Eastern culture, that was a picture that this boy was now in charge in that household. If that boy had chosen to give orders at that very moment, snap to and obey. The reinvestment of authority and his inheritance. He got another inheritance. Did he deserve it? No. Do you and I deserve to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity and to enjoy the privileges of living in His house for all eternity? Do we deserve the blood that was shed in our behalf? No. It's not about deserving. It's about grace. And the older brother said, I don't like your methods, Dad, of how you're dealing with this younger brother. Now, thirdly, a rejection of the father's motive, and this is the tough one right here. This older brother had lived like a servant rather than a son. The older son was just as lost as the younger son. The younger son was alienated from his father while away from his house. The older son was alienated from his father while living under his roof. Watch out, parents. Sometimes the little sweet one that's working so hard and fitting in with the family, and we say, I just never have a moment's problem with them. They're the ones that may miss. You got to watch out for that. I've had a parent after parent I've spoken to out at the ballpark or whatever. I've asked about their kids. I've known a lot of kids go through this program. I've been involved since 1987 as far as the leadership out here at the YAC program, and I've got now some of the children back in 87 now are my coaches, and they're fixing to have grandchildren. So we've reached that stage. I've been out there a long time, and I'll ask about their kids, and they'll hang their head down in shame. What's happened to them? Said, I really can't go into everything that's happened, and then they'll tell a little bit about it, and they're brokenhearted over it. Lives, and they grew up in a decent home, but they rejected love. Watch out, parents, for the sweet little one that does not give you a moment's trouble. They may be stewing like the elder brother, fixing to break out, stewing and festering. Better watch out for them. Don't just write them off where they're okay. They may not be. By the way, the majority of the school violence that has resulted in deaths of individuals were kids that didn't give their parents a moment's trouble. And everybody was shocked. I don't understand. Not in every case, but in the majority of cases. I've got a book this thick of school violence materials that I received from Sunshine State Association of Christian Schools. And over and over and over and over and over again, testimonials. This was the quiet kid. This was the child that never gave a teacher a moment's notice. And yet they brought a gun to school. They brought this. Better watch out. This older brother was stewing the whole time. He was living like a slave instead of like a son. Both boys were stewing, but the elder stayed home and stewed. He was living like a hired hand, working his fingers to the bone for something rather than enjoying the love of his father. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And yet the older boy didn't enjoy a bit of it. It is instructive to note that the father was equally concerned about this older son as he was about the younger son. That's the father's love. He was equally concerned. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. He wants this older brother to capture what love is all about. I want us to see the application quickly. There are so many Christians who are not living in the far country today. Now, get that. There are a lot of Christians who are not living in the far country. They're not down in riotous living. They're not down there having a great old time spending the inheritance of the Father. They're frugal. And they're doing everything like they're supposed to. But they're not enjoying the love of the Father. They're not living like a son. They are trying to live of God, but they're as poor as Job's turkey. You ever heard that expression? Poor as Job's turkey? Look it up online. Get the story behind Job's turkey. Why? They are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, but they will not lay hold upon a one of them. God says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. But this older brother did not enjoy these blessings because he was too busy trying to earn something from his dad. And there was nothing to earn. He was supposed to be laboring in love. But he was trying to get something in return. There's a third son in this passage that's pictured here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who uttered this parable. He is the ideal son without sin. He came to a far country not to run away, but to do the will of the Father. He did not spend his life in riotous living, but in sacrificial dying. He was not a prodigal son, but a prince of peace who shed his blood for the sins of the world. He was not a wayward son, but a willing sacrifice. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, John 1:12. Which son describes you this morning? Do you have a real problem with the Father? You go away angry that the Father would reach out to somebody that you don't think is worthy and not pat you on the back because of all you've done? Listen, folks, we need to get back to the Word of God and let it sink into our hearts and lives, and we need to enjoy the Father's love. You and I need to live like sons and daughters. Are you living like a son and daughter, or are you living like a slave this morning? The Father in heaven loves you with everlasting love. He reached out to you in your lost estate, and He drew you unto Himself and saved you by His grace. Are you living by that grace this morning? Do you know, do you have sympathy for the Father's love? Or do you have a problem with His mercy and His methods and His motive this morning? May the Lord help us to see the picture of this entire chapter here. This entire chapter here is about love, the love of the Father, and the absence of love in religion. If you have religion this morning, you have no love. You don't know what love is. But if you have Christ Jesus, you have the love of the Father. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the account that's given to us here. Lord, You've spoken to us in Your Word of a perfect home environment, the best possible environment that two boys could grow up in. One went away into the far country, lived riotously, came to himself, repented of his sin, came back to the Father, and received the Father's love in a very special and moving way. The older brother never left home. He was there every day, got up and did his chores like he was supposed to. But he did not enjoy the love of the Father. He was too busy to do that. He had too much work to do. Pray to our Heavenly Father that we might examine our hearts this morning. Perhaps we are like the older brother today. We don't have an appreciation for the Father, His mercy, His methods, His motive, and as a result, we do not enjoy the spiritual blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would convict us. Help us to stop living like slaves and start living like sons, and to serve Thee not out of conscription, not because we have to, but because we want to. It's a service out of love. I'll do anything for the Father, because the Father loves me and has given all for me. Lord, that motive so many times is missing from our service because we're just conducting business. We're just carrying out our chores for God. And we don't know and appreciate and enjoy the spiritual blessings that we have from our Father's hand. We pray, dear Father, that You would speak to our hearts this morning, that You would challenge us from the Word of God. I wonder if there's anyone here with your head bowed and your eyes closed that say, Pastor Brainerd, You've described me this morning. I'm very much like the older brother. I'm serving God because I have to, not because I want to. I'm serving God not out of love for Him, because it's what I've been always told I'm supposed to do. And so I've just been laboring for Him because of something I think I'm going to get in return. If you're here this morning, I want you to take just a few moments. I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I just want you to take a few moments here, and I want you to cry out to God and say, Lord, help me to repent and help me to serve Thee out of the right motive. Not because of what I'm going to get, but because of who You are. Let's take just a moment and ask Him to help us in that regard. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would convict us of this sin of not loving Thee like we ought to and living like slaves. I pray, dear Father, that You would help us to greatly appreciate Your love that was exhibited toward us as sinners. But Lord, that love continues on in service. And Lord, we ought to desire to serve Thee not because we have to, but because we want to. And so, Lord, we repent this morning of the sin of selfishness, of the sin of serving Thee in order to get something from Thee. Lord, You can't honor that kind of service. You cannot bless. You cannot put Your hand of blessing upon that kind of service. Pray, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts and draw us closer to Thee, that we might love Thee as we ought. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.